Welcome to another life-changing message from Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
Right? So, can you please stand and welcome the pastor of Love City Church, our sister church, and our family, Nelbert Samuel.
Come on, let's bless him. God is definitely cool, always in a good mood. We're excited to be in his presence. You may be seated, because if we sing, we may get in trouble. Amen. So what we're going to do, is it okay if I teach? If I teach for a little today? We had an awesome time last Sunday. And one of the things I recognize about God is that he is purposeful. And I think that sometimes we get so excited about what we do week in and week out, sometimes you forget the purpose behind it. Especially if you serve, right? It's easy to say, you know what? I gotta play guitar today. Let me go grab my axe and I go to church, or if I'm singing, or if I'm taking care of the children, whatever your assignment is, it becomes so easy to just retreat into the routine. But when you make it your business to be intentional about everything you do for the body of Christ and for God, you never get tired of it. And we're in a season where the body of Christ, many people are getting so tired, getting so bored, they're leaving. But they're not leaving God, they're just leaving dead churches, right? They're living boring, they're leaving boring, dry, dried out places. And we realize then that the design of ministry has to be such that we focus in on purpose. Everybody say it with me, purpose. Because purpose gives you the wherewithal to continue even in the midst of this crazy, crazy thing called religion. So I wanted to challenge you. We're talking about moving as one. Last week we laid a foundation that I thought was really, really heavy. And I wanted to go back into this concept. I shared with you all that there are three major thoughts, and one of those major thoughts is that there are some components to a movement. And I believe that the Hunger for God Church is a movement, all right? If you don't believe it, this may not be the place for you. If you're still trying to figure it out, stay a little longer, all right? Again, we bring greetings from I was going to say Hungry for God Church. Love City Church. I'm rep too. Love City Church, where I had the pleasure of pastoring a group of people for the last year, which is like really, 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 really awesome. And one of the things that have been riding with us, and I think it's going to ride with you, especially in this year of moving as one, is intention. Everybody say it with me, intention. Your intention, hear me, your intention must be focused, okay? So you have to make intentionality your mentality, right? Everything you do, everything you touch, wherever you go, whatever your hands do, you have to make it your mentality. I'm going to be intentional about this thing. I'm not just going to show up for the sake of showing up. The Bible, okay, let's take scripture and add it to that. The Bible says, whatsoever your hands find up to do, do it with all of your might. That speaks of intention. If we're going to move as one, we have to make the decision that I don't care who leaves, I don't care who quits, I don't care where they go, I am committing to moving as one. So it may sound crazy at times. It may feel weird, like nobody else's church is doing this. If you go to Hungry for God in a little while, you may have said that, like, no other church is having, like bubble parties or whatever. What did y'all have last week? A glow party. Oh, y'all had a bubble table or something? A bubble, what? A bubbly bar. Yeah, we don't have none of those. No denomination. You definitely ain't see that Church of God in Christ. Definitely not Assemblies of God. There is no bubbly bars. What is that, liquor? Oh, no. You see how church people think? Right? You do things like that here. The reason why I say that is when you see things like that, you say, Can I commit to that? This is kind of strange for what I know church to be. Could it be that what I knew church to be was not what it should have been? That's why I never felt comfortable. Could it be that what I saw, what I experienced, what I felt, gave me some great foundational stuff, but this was not where I was called to function, to serve? Because I know that me coming to church should be more than me just coming to church. Right? If we're going to make our commitment to move as one, then we must make up in our mind that we are going to do whatever it takes. Right? I heard one preacher say, I'll do whatever it takes. I will just short of sin to save a soul. And while some people say, Pastor, that's strange, truth is, the way the world is going now, you've got to be radical in your approach for souls. You've got to be radical in your approach for souls. Right? We've got to be radical in the world that we live in. Can I say this? In the world that we live in, we got to be radical in our approach and get married. Ooh. Let's be radical and see men get married to women again. Come on, let's be radical in this world. Let's be crazy, Vito. Let's be crazy and have children in a married home. Come on, let's do it. It sounds, but the world in which we live now, let's be that church where we see a pastor kiss his wife in front of people. Ain't that much holiness in the world? And if that's what we desire to see from our leaders, then we've got to model the same thing. The challenge now, hear this, Mercedes, the challenge now is if we're going to move as one, we're going to commit our lives to making sure that whatsoever we do, we hit hard on every level, on every degree, at every angle. Then what we've got to do is now, when we make intention, not just intention, but we've got to add intensity. Okay? The enemy is not playing games with you. The devil... People, I know we don't give him too much glory, right? But he's real. And he works. And he's active. And he wants to take you as far away from God as he can. Catch this. What he will do, he will ensure that if he can, you, especially you in the back serve with the cool beard gang, will come to church, but be lukewarm about it. No intensity, no passion, no drive, no zeal. You'll walk around and be like, oh man, you know, going to church today, and you go sit in the back, sit in the corner, nobody notices you, nobody hears you. And I'm not saying you gotta be loud. But what I am saying is you've gotta be committed enough to the God that you say you serve to not just be intentional, but be intense. Be intense. And why do I say that? Do you really think that Jesus was as laid back as we make him out to be? Really, let's be honest. He had to wait 30 years to get started and only had 3.5 to do it, to change the whole world. Do you really think Jesus was really as mamsy-pamsy as we make him out to be? You really think he was like just walking through the honey dial, picking flowers and hanging out with friends? Listen to how the dude starts ministry, right? He walks up to John the Baptist and says, yo, you got to baptize me. John was like, whoa, you're the one. He was like, that's cool, but I need you to baptize me, right? And John was like, well, if I baptize you, then I may not be giving you the glory that you deserve. Jesus was like, this is part of the package. If I'm going to be who you believe that I am, I have to learn how to submit, and I have to do it in front of people, right? I have to be intense. He had to be not only intentional, but intense. He was like, listen, baptize me. Gets baptized. He goes into the wilderness without preparation, and he fasts for 40 days and 40 nights. comes out, boom, whoop the devil, three attempts, whoops the devil, comes out and he walks up to these guys who were fishing and was like, yo, bro, can I borrow your boat? In today's world, those are fighting words. I don't even know you, bro. He was like, listen, you've been toddling all night, put your cash in on the other side. Peter says, we were here, we were career fishermen. An average guy up the street would say, okay, y'all got it. But because Jesus was so, not just he was not just intentional, but he was intense about his assignment, he says, no, cashing in on the other side. Dude was like, okay, you the man. He turns it on the other side, gathers the fish. Now, here's a great piece of the story, y'all. Watch what happens. Jesus now looks at these guys and says, okay, now that you caught fish, follow me. There was no asking. He wasn't trying to coax them. Jesus wasn't trying to, he didn't write a request for proposal. He didn't want to make sure his 501c3 was in order. He said, follow me. And guess what? Historians say that after he said, follow me, he left. Because when you are not only intentional but intense, you can't afford to waste time on time wasters. If you're serious about it, we won't have to see the word now, when it's defined in time from a physics perspective, now means 5 seconds or less. Daughters, you've been sitting with him and playing with him for the last 5 years. You better tell him what this means. Not only be intentional, but be intense. Like, are you serious about marrying me? The church got low. The brothers, at least. The brothers are like, well, Pastor, we're going to the diner right after this. We're going to have this talk. Right? Follow me. He walks away. And guess how they followed him? They followed him not all over the place doing whatever they wanted to do. They followed him because he moved as one. Therefore, they followed him as one. See, Jesus understood that if I can get people to be intense about whatever about their intention, I can get stuff done in less time. You need some type of intense force, or you have to have forceful intent, okay? So I'm building a formula here. You've got to have forceful intent. You need this. If you're going to multiply your results on the earth and you want to do it quickly, you have to increase your force. So you want to increase your force. You have to increase your force. If you make up your mind to increase your force on anything that you desire to do, so you play keyboards, right, sir? Absolutely. Y'all, this guy plays keyboards. We call him Maestro. Okay? Vito doesn't play keyboards. He talks to God, and the keyboard responds as a conversation. This guy. Okay? This is what he does. Okay? Now watch this. If Vito were to commit himself to playing for an hour a day, then the keyboard will respond to him based on the investment that he makes with that hour a day. However, if he commits to forceful intent, now let's say he goes to 5 and 6 hours a day, 8 hours a day on the keyboard, he has no choice but to become better, faster. Let me help the church understand this. This is why Jesus sat with them for 3 years, and he didn't take 30 years to do it. Some of us are like, Pastor, you know, we got the rest of our lives. No, we don't. We don't. You've got to intensify your force on purpose. Somebody back here is trying to sleep. So if you can intensify your force, how we intensify force? We increase passion. In our context, in the body of Christ, how do you increase passion? Go back to God. Your worship increase, you can't help but force your intention before for God. It increases and it goes hard, it goes fast, it goes strong. If you become passionate at our house this morning, we gave God another yes this morning. Sometimes you got to go back to that. Apostle Paul says, sometimes you just got to go back to your first work and do it all over again. Remember what it felt like. Remember what it looked like. We're moving as one. And when we commit ourselves to increase the force, what we do is we divide time. Because if he only spent an hour playing keyboard every day, if he increases it to 8 hours a day, what he does now is what would have taken him 8 hours to learn or 8 days to learn, he'll do it out of 8 hours in a day. So what you do is when you increase intensity, church, over time, let me spend a moment talking about time. Because time is something we assume we can control. See, the only thing, I tell people all the time, the only thing that is never late is time. Now, a second is never late. A minute always takes 60 seconds. I don't care how much you wish it would take long, does it? 60 seconds every time. An hour is 60 minutes every time. And time is cyclical because God gives you an opportunity to get it right the next day. However, we take time so lightly. Rather than forcing an intention in our assignment, what we do is we multiply time. We don't do it now. This is what procrastination is. Procrastination is intent dividing by force multiplied by time. I don't have to do this now, so I'm going to take my time with it. Come on, I wish your mother would say amen. Your children are like, I got it. I'm going to do it. Did you clean? No. Mama would say, now, children, it's less than 5 seconds. Right? When you increase force, you divide time. Hear me. Because I want us, when, as a church, when we move over this next year, we can get so much done in a year. We can get so much done in a year. But you've got to understand the value of time. When you gather together, it's not simply to hang out. You have limited time and limited space. So you're behind the eight ball. How do I increase intention and my force in less time? You do it by bringing more people on the team with you. Because I can do certain things, and it can take me a certain amount of time to do it. But if I can get somebody else to do what I can do, I can step away, and I can increase my intent behind something else. Or you would call it delegation. However, because not everybody is the leader, I don't want to get that. I can't delegate to Nick, and Nick can't delegate to me because I struggle with pride. But if I commit to a vision, I don't have to be delegated to. Hear what I'm saying? Nobody has to rule over me if I connect to the vision of the house. Hear what I'm saying? Nobody has to rule over me if I say, this is where we're going. Pastor, this is what we're doing. This is my assignment. Yes, go for it. I have to deal with my pride to get things done. If you would, go with me to the book of Nehemiah chapter 3. I want to show you something. Thank you, sir. Nehemiah chapter 3. We are witnessing right now one of the biggest revolutions in the church. And I want to share with you two things that I've been hearing from the Lord very, 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 very heavy over the last. I'm not finished with this diagram yet. A few things I've been hearing from the Lord. One of those things that I've been hearing from the Lord heavy is alignment. We are in the season where we are going to witness alignment to a degree that you have never seen. Alignment simply means getting behind something. Simply, if you want to really get a good definition for it, alignment means getting behind something. And the reason why I want us to get this definition now is because if we're going to go through this whole year flowing, working, ministering, you've got to learn your pastor is not going to call you all the time into a meeting for him to say, this is my vision. This is what I want you to hear. Pastor didn't call. Pastor, I need you to tell me this. Sometimes your pastor is going to expect for you to get it because you're in the house. What do I mean by that? After the initial meeting, after your initial call, after you commit to a particular area of the ministry, whatever your assignment is, I don't care what it is. In our church, we believe that every task is important. Everything. The person who puts the batteries in the microphone is as important as the preacher. Because if there's no batteries in the mic, the preacher's going to waste his voice and or her voice, and then they ain't going to be able to talk for the rest of the day. And the people are going to suffer. The mic putter inner is important. Absolutely important. All right? Alignment means an arrangement in a straight line or in correct or appropriate relative position. That's all right, help me preach. All right? When you begin to align, you understand that there might be some things that are out of order that need to be put in order. It may be painful, however, it's necessary to reduce time. If you don't get in alignment, what we do is we waste energy on what's called drag. Because if you want to stand up and be seen when we're going this way, what you do is you hold us back. You reduce our flow. And I believe that the body of Christ has to understand again that there are no big me's and little you's. It's a big God. And it's a bigger kingdom. I learned a lesson by way of osmosis while I was in Nigeria that was simply this. You follow the man with the microphone. I didn't even get it, but I was like, man, when one person started to pray, the amens and they went with that person, and then they got behind another person, and they got behind another person, and they got behind, and I was like, man, I need some of these people from my church in Brooklyn. They got behind me. Then they got behind the child as much as they got behind me. And I realized something. It's not me. They got behind whoever was leading them. They trusted their leader enough to say, if this person gets the microphone, whether he's 17 or 77, I trust what is in their mouth and I get behind them. In America, we have become so self-centered and we're so focused on what we can do, we don't understand how to align properly. We can't get with it because we want to position ourselves enough to be seen. Hello? We want to position ourselves. I don't want the top seat because I don't want to take the bullets. I don't want to take the blows. But I want to step out just enough so I can be recognized. So, Pastor, you can take the bullets. They finish shooting. Right? Am I right? And what happens is we sit around and we're like, yo, if Pastor takes the bullets, then I can just be next in line. That's not alignment. That's sabotage. It's wickedness. Highest degree. You take the bullets. I'll be okay. By him saying yes, he has to take the bullets. But if you're in alignment, it takes the bullets a long time to get to him. It takes a long time to get to him. You ever know, real leaders want to lead from the front, but true servants don't let them. Watch this. It is the innate design for the lion to leave the pride by himself. But a true pride would never let a lion go to battle by himself. A real pride will never allow anybody in their circle to die alone. And this, my friends, is the challenge that you are going to face over this next year. I speak this prophetically. Your challenge will be putting down your internal opinions about people and so you can allow yourself to get behind the vision of the house. The book of Nehemiah, the third chapter, the book of Nehemiah chapter 3, I want you to see this. I taught this book for a while. I taught it a little bit more than I'd like. That means I've been around too long. Nehemiah chapter 3. All right, praise God. I'm stealing somebody's Wi-Fi. Judge not that you be judged. Right? Nehemiah chapter 3, I want to show you something. It says in verse 1, then Eliashib, this is not Nehemiah, you got it? Awesome. Then Eliashib, the high priest, arose with his brothers, the priests, and built the sheep gate. They consecrated it hung its doors. They consecrated the wall of the Tower of the 100 and the Tower of Hananel. Now watch, look at verse 2. Look at verse 2. Next to him, look at it. Next to him, the men of Jericho built, and next to them, Zechariah, the son of Imri, built. So watch this. It's not just one person that's building or leading, right? And they're not the person that's leading has a group that's behind them. So you had the first group, you had Eliashib, the high priest that rose up, and he had brothers who were priests. They rose up and they built. And then they had the men of Jericho. Am I right? Then they had Zechariah the son of Imri. Look at this, verse 3. Now the sons of Hasena built the fish gate, and they laid its beams, 100 doors, and its bolts and their bars. So I want you to see what's happening here. Dre, come. 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 You had the mic earlier, right? Come, you are a builder. Come, Portia. So watch what happens. Yeah, let's line up. The high priest now determines that he is going to do the work. Then there's another brother who has a team of people behind him, and they go to work. And then there's another brother that has a group of people that's behind him, and they go to work. And another brother, and another sister, and another sister. So watch this. It's not just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's me and whoever I got with me coming with me to work. But I want you to see what's going on. God is showing us that when they built as one. Because next to this one, then next to that one, then next to that one, the enemy couldn't see in even on the lowest level of the wall. Because the people stood together. Thank you. I want you to see that. I want you to see this physically. I want you to see it in your mind. And we're going to go there for you. We're going to do another demonstration. Let's go to the next verse if we can. Next to them. Look at it. And then we go to the next clause. And next to him. And next to him. Let's go to the next verse. Moreover, next to him. So God was setting up layers of covering for a people who committed to working as one. But you've got to commit. If one person is out of the position, then we're going to fall apart. Are you following this? So last week we discussed this, that, that unity is the atomic power of victory. Unity is the atomic power of victory. We talked about the power of the atom. The atom, we discussed, it has multiple particles. However, they come together in a small place, and that becomes the building block of life. Now watch this. Watch this. We discussed that they built the bomb. We talked about two types of bombs, atom bombs. The fission bomb, which used what was in it to spread things out, and the fusion brand, which brought things together. Without having to read the book of Nehemiah, the fission bomb was the weakest of the two, because the fission pushed everything out. Fusion now brings everything in, which means it's adding strength to whatever impact there is. And this is why we said that it becomes a force multiplier to what you are, what I am. So whatever your pastor is, if you get in alignment with who he is, what God has called him to be and what God has called him to do, you multiply the force that's on him. So don't complain that you're not getting something done if you're not behind him. You are fission and not fusion. Listen. I want to take my time because I get scientific and get excited. This is the problem you bring a nerd to church. I know somebody sitting here like, Jesus. So we have the formula. We're going back to the formula. I'm going to work this in a minute and close out. Focus intensity. Focus intensity, Bianca. This is not just for church. This is for your business. Some of you haven't had a chance to launch your business yet because you play with your business. You see something on Facebook, Goldcast, or you see the lion running through and there's a famous quote behind it. Man, I better work on my business. Are you kidding me? There's some people who spend 13 years in quiet. They didn't have time to talk to anybody to build their businesses because it requires focused intensity. Especially, hear me now, especially if you come from a family of poverty, you can't afford to waste time. Because your fight is not just you. You're fighting your mama's broke spirit. You're fighting your grandfather's broke spirit. You're fighting the poverty that's come through generations. You've got to rise up and increase your focus on your intensity because it needs something. It has to fight something greater than you. It has to fight something greater than you. You've got to now permit yourself to say, okay, if I saw church and I was broken by church, I have to focus my intensity in the thing that I know can work, but it's broken so it can get fixed. And if in the house that God has sent you to, you have to increase your focus. Your pastor shouldn't have to tell you to go. If he says this is your assignment, Google it. At the very least, if you can't find scripture to back it up, Google it. Find out what other churches are doing. Study. You've got to put your strength behind it. If not, and listen, because you focus your intensity this week, it doesn't mean that you're going to be successful next week. It requires time. So focus intensity over time. Where's my marker? Help me hold it up. Over time has to be multiplied by something. Because focused intensity over time works in the world. However, in our context, we need to multiply our focused intensity. I'll tell you why. Because the resources that they have in the world, if we're being very frank, are a lot better than what we have in the church. So you put focused intensity over time, you must multiply it. What is the multiplier? You must multiply it by God. Focus intensity over time, multiplied by God. Multiplied by God. See, because many people think that because I say God's name, I'm with God. Minister Chanel, let me tell you, all those who call the name of the Lord ain't his. See, this right here changes the whole equation. God changes everything. That's a praise right there. God changes everything. He changes everything. He comes in, and what you do is if you're going to change, watch this, multiply my focus intensity, and my focus intensity over time, multiplied by God, there's one more thing you must add. You. What is you? Not you. Unity. You. Focused intensity over time multiplied by God plus unity. What is this? What does that equal to? Sounds crazy, but part of my horrible penmanship here, that equals to unstoppable momentum. Focus intensity over time, multiplied by God. That's me. That should be you too. That should be you too. But when we add that together and we unify, that's what makes the difference. That's what makes it creates unstoppable momentum. My focus intensity over time, because I got it, listen, we're subject to it. Times God plus our unity equals unstoppable momentum. When you commit to functioning as one, the final thing I would love to show you is a demonstration of the power of focus intensity. There is something that happens on the earth where particles and things, this is a real thing, physics, okay? If I can move all the particles in the room from one place to another place, I increase the force and power. Okay? What do I mean by that? If everybody in this room stood up and sat down, there will be a level of heat that arises. Not because we carry the heat, but because we shifted the particles in the room up, it creates a level of heat energy. Does that make sense? So that's why we have a saying. A lot of black people get in the room. Yes, huh? You know why? Because we shift particles. Hallelujah. You know, we don't just know how to just show up and sit down. You want to dance? Hey, how you doing, girl? I'm fine. All of this. Because we shift particles. So what happens is, watch this, we'll just do this as an experiment. Say as one. When I point to you, say as one. Say it like you mean it. Good. What they've done is they say it. However, if we all in the room say as one at the same time, it shifts something in the room. Okay? So on three, I want you to say it like you mean it. One, two, three.
That's one.
My God. Did you feel that? What happens was focus intensity over time, time's gone, plus unity created a momentum. If you were standing where I was standing, your eardrums would still be ringing. Now imagine if you stood up and you pumped your fist in the face of the devil, and you said as one. What you do is you create in the atmosphere a shift of the particles. Doesn't even matter what was going on here. You move it. Come on, shout it one more time. One, two, three.
As one.
Did you notice that? Even the other noise in the room got quiet. Did y'all hear that? The claps that were echoing got quiet when you opened your mouth because it forced any other thing that was in the way to be quiet. I wish I had a church here. Any other thing that is moving, any other thing that is making noise, when we get together and flow as one, it has no choice but to be quiet in the presence of a people who know how to move when God says move, who understand the power and the authority given to them by God. We move as work this. In Nevada, certain desert regions, this is crazy. In certain desert regions, planes are not allowed to take off, Bianca, if it's too hot. Because planes have the ability to break the barrier of sound. And if they break the barrier of sound, if it is too hot, it may create a flash lightning storm. Hear what I'm saying? Because because of the strength of the sound of the engines going off at the same time creates a shift in the atmosphere that causes what was dry to force water. Hear what I'm telling you. I'm telling you, this is not a joke. I have somebody who flies JetBlue. They are set down when it gets past 125 degrees because it may create a flash lightning storm and other planes may be struck. In a dry region like New York City, we have been given orders by our God to release a sound that will shift the atmosphere. And I come to decree and declare today that it's a possibility that if we get together and move as one, where they thought would be dry forever, we would release in this earth realm a storm that we have never seen before. I come to decree and declare that as Hungry for God moves as one, he will shift desert places. He will cause rain in the desert. He will cause streams in the desert. People who are sitting in tents, the cancer wings, would rise up as the power of a mighty pride shows up. I decree and declare that when you focus your intensity and you allow God to work you over time and let him do what he does in your life, it doesn't matter if we go to the north, the south, the east, or the west, we're going to cause some dry places to pour from rain. We're going to cause some dry places to create wells in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I decree and declare, hungry for God, get ready. Wherever you go, be prepared for rain. Be prepared for rain. Be prepared for rain in the name of Jesus. The time is coming. The time is coming when you will witness it. You just say hungry for God and something shifts. You just call on the name of the Lord in the region. Something shifts. Hey. I charge you now, therefore, get behind the leadership of this house and move as one. They move to the left, go with them. They move to the right, go with them. Run with them. Get behind them. Push them. The hour is coming now. And now is. Let's go. We're going. We're going. We're determined that we will be a house where we will bring powerful worship, healings and miracles, heavy teaching. And we declare now in Jesus' name, that which was, God will multiply in the name of Jesus. More teaching, more miracles, more wonders, more signs, more worship in Jesus' name. Come on! We do this thing, not of our own accord, not of our own volition, but we move as one. Somebody shout as one. One more time, as one. One more time, as one. Let's do it again. We move. We win. We overcome. We rule. We govern. We run. We run. We run. We run. We run. We run. We move. We win. We prophesy. We prophesy. We prophesy. We release into this house the anointing for special
scripture, bringing change to school, going into the marketplace, winning as one. Winning as one. Winning as one. Hey, winning as one. We win. Hallelujah. As one. As one. Come on, give God a high note of praise today. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God. Slamming the ground. I don't know what y'all gonna do, but something radical where the whole house moved as one. And I believe that you're going to witness a shaking in this generation, for it cannot go beyond what it is that God has said for you. You all, hear me, you all, whatever it is you plan on doing, God will do it through you all once you make the commitment. The hour is far spent. We've seen the church too divided. It's time for somebody to show it how to do it again. Amen. Amen.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.